Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in a very unique format breakup, Dawson and I do a one-on-one, a political one-on-one at the top. Then Gina and Ball will come on. We'll take some calls. But listen to that top one-on-one with me and Dawson. If you like it, share it. All right, let me tell you about LifeLock, practice safe online holiday shopping. Only shop websites with URLs that start with HTTPS and have that locked padlock icon on the left of the URL. Don't overshare. No online retailers needs your social security number or date of birth. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. These holidays, you can miss certain identity threats just by monitoring your credit and bank statements alone. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info is being used, their network, well, they'll send you an alert, so you'll be the first to know. So protect yourself. It's almost 2021 with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No, we prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam. Hey, Adam Carolla fans. Join Adam Carolla and producer Chris Loxamana this Thursday for a live conversation on the Stereo app. One listener will be randomly awarded $500. So download the Stereo app today. And tune in this Thursday to Ask the Ace Man and producer Chris Loxamana anything. This Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time on the Stereo app. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the director of the new documentary, Belushi, R.J. Cutler. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jake Paul drops by to recap Saturday's fight now. He wants more turn signaling and less virtue signaling. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, we get on your mandate. You get it on now. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Changing the format up a little bit because Jake Paul's going to call in a couple, and when he does, we'll just talk boxing. So we don't need Gene and Brian for that. They're going to tune us. They're going to tune in at about the half hour mark. And also at the top, I was watching a segment on Tucker Carlson last night, and Dawson had mentioned that he saw the segment on Tucker Carlson. I thought it was a very important segment. It's a longish segment, but you guys should all really listen to it, and we should break down the game film because it's going to – it's very indicative of where we are right now, what's going on in the media, what's going on in our fucking society, and how these fucking people are lying to you about all of this shit to move along a political agenda. Now, you can say, well, all right, you're a conservative guy. That's just your opinion. No, these will just be the facts. This will be follow the science. Remember, we're going to follow the science. This has to do with kids going back to schools. I've been fucking saying this for months and months and months. There's no danger at schools. This doesn't affect kids. When you get into the brackets, when you break it down, you know, out of 10 million people, amount of people over 80 that died, you know, 1,000. Between 70 and 80, it's 500. Under, you know, 60 and 70, it's like 250. By the time you get down to kids, it doesn't exist. This fucking disease doesn't affect kids. And they don't appear to be able to spread it either. So you have two arguments. One is, we don't want to put the kids in danger. Well, I will now put you at ease and say it doesn't hurt kids. And then the second argument is, what about when they give it to fucking teachers? Well, I don't know. First off, what about when they go into a Trader Joe's? But also, apparently they don't carry it as well. Yes.
Well, the thing is a lot of people may be saying, well, you don't know. Well, every single study that has been done and has been available all summer specifically states that if children catch this disease, mild symptoms, they recover in 1 or 2 weeks, and they have pretty much a zero transmission. They right. do not spread all the right. disease. So it's then, all science.
Now, here's the question. Why do the people who never stop talking about the kids and the welfare of the kids and the schooling of the kids and the underprivileged kids and the brown kids in the inner city and how they're being disproportionately affected? Why don't they give a fuck about those kids then? Those kids are sitting home rotting right now, and they have been for months. Number one, that's the number one thing you guys claim to care about, the kids.
Talk about disproportionately affected. The yes. black and brown kids are the ones suffering the most right now.
Right. So you guys claim to care about the kids and the brown and black kids who are disproportionately fine. The second thing you tell us to do and never stop telling us to do is follow the science. Well, the science has been in for a long time about this, but you still don't want to reopen the schools, do you? Why not? Why wouldn't you want to reopen the schools? Why not? The science is in. You love kids. You should be the tip of the spear for reopening schools, but you're not into it. Huh. Maybe there's another agenda. I don't know. Could there possibly be another agenda?
There could possibly be one. I have an idea.
All right. Well, let's play Tucker, and we'll listen to it for a little bit.
Oh, and one other thing. The country's public health establishment has tortured your children for 8 months for no apparent reason. That happened. That story has not received a lot of coverage, but it's been confirmed tonight. The authorities have admitted it. 60 million American children languishing in their rooms since spring, sitting in front of screens, learning nothing, isolated from human contact, in many cases driven to mental illness. We can now report there was no reason for any of that. The experts were wrong. They had no idea what they were doing. But the most amazing part, and this really is the headline of the story, is that they knew they were wrong when they did it, but they kept lying about it, even as American children began to kill themselves. On Sunday in New York, city officials all but admitted this. They announced they're reopening elementary schools. Those are the same schools that they closed fewer than 2 weeks ago. Now, from a medical standpoint, nothing has changed. New York didn't get an early shipment of the Pfizer vaccine. There wasn't some groundbreaking new research paper that revolutionized our understanding of the coronavirus. Nothing like that at all. In fact, parents simply had enough. And they forced Bill de Blasio to admit the obvious. This virus is not a threat to children. As de Blasio put it in that weird euphemistic way that dumb people speak, quote, "We know that the health realities for the youngest kids are the most favorable."
All right, pause it for a second. That's the other thing they'll do, too. Like Fauci will go, for kids, it's not as devastating as adults. What do you mean not? It's nothing. It's nothing. It's not as favorable. It's more favorable than it is. It's not more favorable. It's a fucking zero burger, you fucking liars. And who are you people listening to these idiots? It's not clear what they want. It's not clear what their agenda is. It's not about science. It's sure as fuck not about kids. Ugh, it's about teachers and unions and winning an election. But all right, keep playing it.
Well, yes, we do know that. We've known it for a long time. We knew it when Bill de Blasio shut down New York schools. And Tony Fauci knew it, too, though he didn't say anything about it. Now he's decided to say something about it 8 months late. Here's Anthony Fauci on Sunday. And as you watch this, keep in mind that this man on the screen is leading our response, America's response to the coronavirus.
Close the bars and keep the schools open is what we really say. Obviously, you don't have one size fits all, but as I said in the past, and as you accurately quoted me, the default position should be to try as best as possible within reason to keep the children in school or to get them back to school. If you look at the data, the spread among children and from children is not really very big at all.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You're partisan fucking hack. It's not very big at all. How would this guy work in corporate America? Or sales weren't very big at all last quarter. No, you had no sales. Weren't very big at all. You hear the way these guys tie themselves up? And don't, these guys aren't fucking long haul truckers. They're professionals with high degrees. Why can't they speak clearly? Not very big at all. This is not as devastating as it is to the elderly population. It doesn't exist in this group. Can you speak plainly? What about that message? You're the czar. Why can't you communicate better? Not very big at all.
Because if he communicated clearly, the last 8 months would prove that he's a fraud.
Right. All right. We'll keep playing.
One would have suspected.
Oh, I've always said you should keep the schools open, says the man in charge of America's coronavirus response to a nation whose schools have been closed for months. Right. Yeah, I always said that. Check the tape. Because, quote, if you look at the data, says Anthony Fauci. But wait a second. Why is this just now occurring to Tony Fauci? Isn't this Fauci's entire job to, quote, look at the data? Yes, it is. And yet somehow he never thought to do that. That's our corona czar. Over the summer, when the data looked the same as they do tonight, Fauci explained that he couldn't really say if kids should be allowed to go to school. It was, quote, complicated.
Yeah, he couldn't say whether you could go out and do BLM protests or not. But you couldn't go to a ball game and you couldn't go to a church and you couldn't go into a restaurant. But as far as the protest goes, can't say.
He also said that if you meet somebody on Tinder, it's okay to go screw them.
Right.
That's up to your own discretion.
Right. But he can't say anything about protests. All right. Here we go.
Except it wasn't complicated. It wasn't complicated then. It's not complicated now. In April, many months ago, a study by the Journal of the American Medical Association found that school-aged children who get the coronavirus, quote, develop only mild symptoms and typically recover within 2 weeks.
All right. That's in April. That's in April. The fuck are, what's everyone doing languishing at home for the last 7 months? But all right, here we go.
Months later, same story. In June, a study in The Lancet affirmed this, quote, COVID-19 is generally a mild disease in children, including in infants. Other studies found the exact same thing. No study has found anything but that. There was never much question about it. But if
hold on. What's the first thing I started talking about, Max Patton, when this fucking thing hit and CNN started going bananas? What's the first thing I brought up?
Well,
age. Age.
Yeah.
Age. Stop fucking lumping the 87-year-olds with the 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. You're fucking everyone up. Of course, nursing homes need to be monitored, but schools, not nursing homes. Remember, I kept saying, why are they keeping the ages from us? What's up with the age? Because if we knew the age breakdown, we would have had a totally different take on this thing. We know it only affects elderly people and people with pre-existing conditions. We would have had a totally different set as a nation, mindset as a nation on this. They never told us the ages. They lumped the fucking kids in with the elderly. Sorry, go ahead.
For more evidence, check the death rates. Those are publicly available. Deaths are not hard to track. Consider the state of New Jersey. That's one of the states hit hardest by the coronavirus. So far in New Jersey, not a single school-aged child has died from the coronavirus. Not one. Many children have died from car accidents and fires and drug ODs and suicide. None have died from COVID-19. In California, the biggest state in the United States, 40 million people live there. A total of 2 people under the age of 18 have died from the coronavirus. 2. The numbers nationwide, according to the latest CDC numbers, 123 Americans under the age of 18 have died from the coronavirus. 123
Hold
out
on.
Of 300.
My fucking daughter has anxiety over this whole fucking thing. She's 14. She has anxiety. It's fucking, it's PTSD now because you fucks at CNN promulgated this bullshit and all you fucking retard pussies fucking lapped it up. Just fucking got your ladle out and fucking lapped it up like fucking dogs. And then you spread it around. And then you went to go shame me and you went to go shame Dr. Drew and you went to go shame anyone who dared disagree with your false narrative.
And then ironically, they go into their parents' basements and blast Rage Against the Machine.
Ugh. All right, keep playing.
123 Americans under the age of 18 have died from the coronavirus. 123 out of 350 million. We shut the schools anyway, crushing millions of kids, affecting their futures in ways we can't even understand at this point. But it's clear it's bad, really bad in some cases. So the question is, why did we do this? And the answer is to save the teachers. The teachers' unions pushed this, and their servants in the Democratic Party obeyed. They're the single largest donors to the Democratic Party, so of course they did. So unionized teachers get to stay home collecting checks for their 9-month-a-year jobs because classrooms are just too dangerous. It's like the Battle of the Bulge 5 days a week. And that's exactly what they've done. But what do the data say about this? Well, for teachers under the age of 50, and that's the vast majority of them, the odds of surviving a coronavirus infection are roughly 99.98%. But we should tell you that for teachers under 70, the risk of dying escalates to a terrifying 99.5% chance of survival. And by the way, if teachers do get sick, it likely won't be from teaching. Children appear not to spread the coronavirus.
All right. Where's the science? Where are the numbers? I know you guys love numbers and science. We're always going to follow the science, right? Right, CNN? Right, LA Times? Right, New York Times? It's going to follow that science. How come we never hear these numbers? It appears the classroom is about the safest fucking place you can be. I think it goes beach, classroom, and then after that, morgue, because you're fucking dead. And you died of old age. What? We're going on airplanes, people. We're fucking flying in airplanes. Can't go into a classroom? Sounds like the safest place you could be. All right, keep playing.
We've known this for a long time. Back in May, researchers in Europe found, quote, children do not appear to be drivers of transmission. And we argue that reopening schools should be considered safe, accompanied by certain measures. Again, none of this is new. Tony Fauci, the data guy, knew it at the time. And so did anyone in the news media who could read, which is still most of them. And yet they kept lying about it, all of them. In July, here's just one example, a panel of physicians and experts on infectious disease went on television to explain that going to school isn't dangerous for anyone. They would send their own kids. Watch the news anchor's reaction.
All right, we've seen this one. Everyone goes, I'd send my kid back to school, and the fucking CNN guy's like, that's not our narrative. I thought we vetted you guys. We didn't do a very good job of vetting the experts because they said the kid should go back to school. What's your job, CNN? What are you doing? Are you a news outlet? You going out, turning over rocks, looking up stories, crunching data? Is that what you're doing? Doesn't feel like a lot of newsing going on with you guys. Feels like a narrative. Doesn't feel like news. It's narrow news. It's no longer news. Because if CNN was doing news, then they would have been screaming about opening the schools 4 months ago. Go ahead.
They all said yes, said the newsreader, feigning shock. Can you believe that? Doctors have concluded their own children should go to school. They must be crazy. They're crazy. What do the doctors know about coronavirus? What was this about? And of course, you know the answer. It was about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, in this case, agreed with the doctors. Therefore, the doctors had to be mocked and ignored. Here's what the president said about schools in July.
We have to open our schools. Open our schools. Stop this nonsense. We open our schools.
All right, let's break down CNN. Trump said hydroxychloroquine may be effective, and you guys all waged a war against some inert drug that's been around for 60 years and billions of doses have been given out worldwide and that is safe to take while you're pregnant. So that's the kind of newsing that went on with hydroxychloroquine. Then the next story was Trump said open the schools, By the way, you can disagree with Trump about many, many, many things, but you can still go, I agree with him on opening schools. But then you launched a war against opening schools. That's the way you do news. You just pick someone you dislike, let them say something, and then attack two things that are patently true and patently obvious. Hydroxychloroquine, effective, certainly not dangerous. Remember you were talking about how dangerous it was? What about a follow-up story about how dangerous hydroxychloroquine is? Any news stories about that? All the people that have been affected because they took it when we told you how dangerous it was? And now we're going to attack opening schools. Why? Science? Data? Why? Because Trump said it. That's not a news. You're not a news outlet if that's the way you conduct yourself. Now, I don't blame them. What are you people watching them for? You think you're getting news from them? All right, the news you got from them was hydroxychloroquine is dangerous, it's completely safe, and schools shouldn't reopen. Oh, there's your news. All right, go ahead.
Stop this nonsense, we reopen our schools. Now, in point of fact, as a scientific matter, that turned out to be sound policy based on sound data. But the media told us the exact opposite of that. One headline at CNN warned of, quote, the very clear dangers of Donald Trump's push to reopen schools.
Very clear.
Google didn't censor that as misinformation. It should have. Another headline called out, quote, Donald Trump's mind-bending logic on school reopening.
It's mind-bending.
Mind-bending logic. Those damn data again. Joe Biden's campaign didn't want to hear it. They didn't want you to hear it either. School was dangerous. Period. Donald Trump claimed the opposite. Therefore, it was too dangerous to send your kids or for you to decide to send them. Watch.
Ignoring how the virus spreads, risking teachers and parents' lives, going against the advice of experts.
It's had very little impact on young people.
Do you trust him to do what's best for our children?
Hold because that. I like in the middle of your anti-Trump commercial, he says the truest words ever spoken, which has had very little impact on young people. And you're like, Exhibit A. Exhibit A. The world, the globe is round, the sky is blue. Aha. Aha. Very little impact on young people. You put that in your commercial. You want to know why he said that? Because it has very little impact on young people. But you guys don't want to, you want to follow the science?
It's just science.
It's just science. It's just science. What happened to the all the global warming shit, all the climate change shit? Aren't we just supposed to follow the science? Don't you guys want to just follow the science when it comes to kids and COVID-19? All right, go ahead, Matt.
This is not a test.
Yeah, going against the advice of experts. In this country, that's no longer allowed.
Experts.
Even and maybe especially when the experts are completely wrong. What's the message? The message couldn't be clearer. They're not your kids anymore. If they were your kids, you could make the key decisions about their lives, but they're not. Those kids, your former kids, belong to Tony Fauci now. Tony Fauci, America's parent. He'll make the decisions about your kids, thank you very much, in conjunction with the nation's Uber mom, who, by the way, is also 80 years old, Mrs. Nancy D. Pelosi. Watch Mrs. Pelosi fret about the health of our children.
Are you confident that students and teachers will go back safely to school in the fall?
No, I think what we heard from the secretary was malfeasance and dereliction of duty. This is appalling. They're messing. They're messing. The president and his administration are messing with the health of our children. Going back to school presents the biggest risk for the spread of the coronavirus.
All right. She's setting policy, everybody. But OK, she's partisan. Where's what's CNN reporter doing? Doesn't CNN reporter no follow up fucking questions? You got no questions. This is the biggest risk. This presents the biggest risk for kids.
The single greatest.
The single greatest risk for kids is sending them back to school.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi and CNN, you just nod your head. No follow-up questions? No thoughts about that? The single biggest risk is almost zero? And by the way, what else does Nancy Pelosi have in store for us that we should listen to? Should we listen to her next time she talks about a risk, the single biggest risk? Jesus fucking Christ, people. How do you even pretend these people are people? All right, go ahead, sir.
If that's not criminal, what she just said, we may need to redefine what it means to commit a crime. 60 million school-aged children affected by a decision that was wrong, and many of them hurt for life. But we just blow right past it and allow political leaders like that to blow right past with phrases like the health of our children. What happens when you lock children in their rooms in front of screens and prevent them from experiencing human contact? Has Nancy Pelosi ever been asked that question? Has she ever wondered about the answer? According to the Centers for Disease Control, a total of 522 children between the ages of 5 and 14 died of suicide in 2017. In that same age group, only 42 children have died from the coronavirus so far this year. What are those suicide numbers going to look like if we continue to take Nancy Pelosi's advice about the health of our children? We already have some indications of that. Future years will reveal the whole picture, and you can be certain it'll be horrifying. But for right now, with incomplete data, here's what we know. In St. Paul, Minnesota, for example, 40% of all grades given this year have been Fs. And you can be certain they're grading lightly, but it's still double the normal amount of failures. In Fairfax County, Virginia, the number of middle and high school students with failing grades in two or more classes has increased by 83%. The number of students with disabilities who are failing two or more classes has increased by more than 100%. In a lot of school districts, huge numbers of kids never even registered for online classes. Do you have kids? Do you know anyone who does? They're learning nothing. Those are real consequences. If you want to know the health of a society, look at its young people, look at its schools. These are obvious points that are being roundly ignored, and anyone who makes them is attacked for making them. We're going to look back on this woman in shame. Back in June, we interviewed Dr. Scott Atlas. He was then a member of the White House's coronavirus task force.
Now, it's a pretty simple equation. Of course, it's hurting kids to keep them at home. Of course, it's hurting brown and black kids, the kids you talk about the most, to keep them at home. And it affects them disproportionately. All right. So then what's the motivation? I mean, how do you justify this? How do you rationalize this? So Nancy Pelosi, this is not dangerous. And everyone at CNN and LA fucking Times and New York Times, we all know it's not dangerous. The data's out there. You go find it. Go do it. Hey, teachers unions, it's not dangerous. So what are you doing? Why are you harming kids? Why are you, in fact, harming kids in the name of safety? I've told you guys a million times, this fucking umbrella of safety, it'll fuck your shit up because the fucking pussies use it. They use this umbrella of safety to fucking rule, make their fiats and decrees and fucking crush you. That's what they're doing. Everything's in the name of safety, right? Everything's in the name of safety. And then in the name of safety, I can shut your shit down. No walking on the beach, no laying down on the beach, shut your business down. No eating outside. Why? Why can't I eat on the patio? Safety, shut it down. So as long as I have fucking safety in my back pocket, the safety of the kids. Really? Where's the data? Where's the data about eating outside? Where's the data about kids going back to school? Oh, you don't have that. But you just become some sort of perpetual hall monitor where you get to put on the safety sash and then we have to fucking obey. And who are the people obeying? Why is everyone listening to these idiots? They clearly have an agenda. So, Dawson, you want to know what the upshot is?
Tell me.
How is it you can lie to people? How is it you can be CNN? How is it you can be Nancy Pelosi, LA Times, New York Times? How can you just lie and hurt kids? It's simple. It's a simple, super simple equation. You don't say we need to defeat Trump. We need to get Biden in there because of policies. You say this guy's Hitlerian and he's a dictator and he's going to put his boot on the knee. He's going to put his knee on the neck of Americans. And then once you establish that narrative, well, then who cares if the kids rot at home for 6 months? It's a small price to pay. I mean, what if you'd gone to Nazi Germany and you'd want, hey, what do you want? You want Hitler to take over? and start up concentration camps and begin World War II? Or would you mind if the kids stayed home for 6 months? Well, every sane person would go, well, we'll just keep the kids home for fucking 6 months and then we'll get rid of Hitler. So once you create, once you paint with the Hitlerian brush, once you paint with the dictator brush, once you paint with that, he'll do irreparable damage to our culture, our society, and the environment. Well, then you get to lie all you want. And that's what CNN did. CNN is a news organization with reporters. It's not a bunch of fucking produce clerks. These are reporters. If you wanted to find out about hydroxychloroquine, you could do it in 10 minutes. You could find out just how safe it is. But what do? They put a whole fucking bank of experts on there to talk about how dangerous it is. Now, stupid or liar?
There you go.
They're not stupid. They all have advanced degrees. They're lying. Why are they lying? So Hitler doesn't take over. There you go. That's the narrative. That's how you work it. And by the way, that's why you make him into Hitler. That's why you turn your opponent into a racist Hitler. Because once your opponent is a racist Hitler, then that justifies anything you want. So news anchors for CNN, just fucking swallow your pride and just go eat shit every night and lie. Just lie. And if Nancy Pelosi says patently untrue things that are insane, you just nod your head. Because it's all in service of not having Hitler in for a second term. And that's how it works. Now, that's why you guys got to be careful out there. When you start calling everyone a racist, why are they calling everyone a racist? Well, they're not going to win the fucking argument about kids going back to school. They're not going to win that argument, but you'll win every time if it's with a racist. And that's what you just saw. All right. I do not know where, who's calling in here, where Jake Paul went to. We've been trying to get him on the show for a while, but Dawson, any parting shots?
Yeah. You know, regarding the teachers' unions, I believe that, you know, I'm not totally sure, but I believe that the teachers' unions have a better chance of getting everything they want. They believe they have a better chance of getting everything they want if Biden is in office. And I think their goal from the beginning was shut it down, hold everybody hostage. By the time we drive them crazy enough, they're just going to give us whatever the fuck we want, just so we'll reopen the schools.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The heroes.
And part of that is, you know, no more charter schools.
Oh, yeah. No, no. They're I think the teachers' unions are the largest voting bloc. It's like the largest group of voters. All right, everyone. They're heroes. And they're noble people who got into the profession because they love children.
And they're deliberately harming children.
That's right.
For political means.
Yeah. In New York, the unions. So here's how it goes. The unions say, no, we're not going back into the classroom. De Blasio needs the teachers' unions to vote him in so he doesn't pressure them. It's interesting. They asked Joe Biden about it in a press conference, and he laughed it off and walked away. All right, everybody. You don't think these people, first off, do you think these people care? You think they care about your kids? You think Nancy Pelosi cares? You think CNN cares? You think De Blasio cares? You think they care? I don't. Because if they cared, they'd follow the fucking science, which I've been yelling about for fucking. It became insanely clear very early on to me that this wasn't doing anything to kids. All right. Well, we'll bring in. Yes, go ahead.
There's one more news story that broke today. I'm trying to find it on Twitter and I can't right now. But that one L.A. County supervisor. Did you hear about this on? I guess it was on Tuesday of last week. They held a supervisors meeting and they all voted to shut down restaurants 3-2
outdoors.
Shut it all down. And immediately following that meeting. Supervisor Keel, I believe. I'm trying to find it. Immediately after that meeting, she went out and ate
at the Il Fornato or
Gary's got it for us. Hold on, let me hit a spot and then tell me about that.
This is wonderful.
Of course. Oh, and look, can it go any other way? Is what I'm asking. I mean, Newsom's kids have been in school, huh? All right. First, let me tell you about Thompson Cigar. Whether you're working from home or kicking back after a week, you want to relax. And a nice premium cigar is the way to do it. Thompson Cigar Company has deals and selections for you. I had a nice night a couple of weeks ago. Went over to Dave Rubin's place with his husband and had a gourmet meal. And afterward, we all just sat by the fire pit and smoked the cigar with Prager. Build your own five-pack with over 300 different options to mix and match. And check out Thompson Cigar Tour. Five different blends delivered to your door monthly, plus insane cigar deals via email daily. They have so many, such a selection, 12,000 plus cigar options. And number one choice for premium cigars in the U.S. because they deliver the best customer experience. Thompson Cigar, right, Dawson?
Sit back and take a break from all the craziness with a cigar from Thompson Cigar. Now for a limited time, Thompson is offering 15% off orders over $75 or more, or 20% off orders over $99. To take advantage of these incredible savings, simply go to thompsoncigar.com and use promo code Corolla when you are ready to check out. The website is Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, cigar.com, and use promo code Corolla.
Jake's team is trying to grab him. They apologize. Gene and Bald are on hold. So what should we do? You want to take a break?
Let's take a break. Back? Let's bring in a... Yes. Oh, yeah, you want to hear Dawson's story about the supervisor?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's all right. So, yeah, just mere hours after voting to shut down all in-person dining, Sheila Kuehl went to go eat at a very high-end Italian place in Santa Monica. I bet Brian has been there many times. Il Forno.
Mm. Well, what about the rules?
And she said, you know, when in the vote that dining in is the most dangerous thing right. You can do.
Well, not.
And then immediately after the vote.
But she to went be out fair, to she said it's the most dangerous thing you can do. That's not right. Me, that's not
right.
Her.
That's right.
Not Her Highness.
And I mean, how much longer are we just going to sit here and be lied to?
I have no fucking idea what's wrong with everybody. I go on Twitter every night, call everyone a fucking pussy, and everyone thinks I'm
insane.
And
I favorite and retweet many of those. I don't get nearly the heat you get.
I don't know what the fuck's wrong with all you cowards.
That's the you guys a lot of people missing pussies. Spines these days.
Oh my God, it's fucking blah. Like I want to fucking throw up.
And right? You know, by the way, I don't have a spleen. I get things first and worse. Yeah. I am immunodeficient, and. You know, I wear a mask where you're supposed to. I don't where you're not.
Yeah.
I'm not a pussy. I haven't changed my life.
I have.
And life is good.
Well, I have fucking pussies like tweet me all the time. Like, you want to go to the emergency room and clean ventilator hoses for kids that are dying? And I'm like, fuck you, pussy. What the fuck happened to people?
Twitter also gives people a very, very false sense of armor.
I get it. I don't blame anybody. I blame everybody. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with everybody. Fucking wake up. You don't know what's going on? Wake the fuck up, everybody. Jesus Christ. And you guys think you're fucking counterculture because you obey? Jesus Christ.
And the other thing is you and I are working. Our jobs are relatively unaffected, except you can't travel as much. But, you know, so it's not like most people in our position would like not really care, I guess, because we're working. We're
some
good.
Fucking retard tweeted me and went, oh, yeah. Adam doesn't care about. Adam wants people to. I'll say. Adam wants people to go back to work because he's rich. I'm like,
and he's got a mansion. That's what it said. Yeah, because he can be in his mansion.
Hey, like, fuckdard. I'm fine.
Right.
All I got to lose is my reputation. All I got to lose is everyone hating me.
All you got to lose is your dignity.
I
hold on to it.
I'm rich and I have a job. I go to work every day. I'm not talking about me. I don't have a little brother who works as a busboy at a restaurant. I got no fucking skin in the game. I don't know anyone in the restaurant industry. I know Mark Garagos. That's it. And Mark will land on his feet. Do not worry about Mark. I have no reason to say open up the schools, open up the rest. I have no fucking reason to say it. I have no teachers in my family. I have no one who's employed in the restaurant industry. I have no fucking skin in the game other than these people are lying to you. It's wrong. And you guys are fucking cowards. That's the skin I have in the game. Other than that, I should have just shut up because it would help me to shut up. I could stay in the good graces with all the pussy comedians.
Right.
But I didn't get into this to fucking do that.
Well, you did a nice little piece on this in I'm Your Emotional Support Animal.
It's all in
there,
people.
Hang on to your dignity, people. It's all you really got.
It is all you fucking really have. All right. Let's take ourselves a break. We'll bring Gina Bryan in. We'll take some calls, and we'll do that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, Carl from Lodi. Hey, driving to work this morning on the big sign over the freeway says, don't drive intoxicated. Man, take notes. That is pure genius. What are they going to think of next? All right, man. See ya.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, Brian and Gina have joined. R.J. Cutler, who's a pretty celebrated filmmaker and documentarian TV producer. We'll talk to him about the new Belushi doc, which I hear is fantastic. I have to go watch the trailer. Brian watched it. Brian, you learned some things about Belushi?
Yeah, man. First of all, it's really good, obviously. Secondly, details his whole life, which is only 33 years. I did learn some things about Belushi, which, you know, I've ad nauseum gone on about how much I love SNL from back in the old days. Did not realize, I knew that Chevy Chase was kind of that breakout star of the first season, which is why he left to do movies and stuff. Did not know that Belushi and Chevy had like a rivalry. And I think it was more one-sided, like, Belushi was like legit jealous, and there was a resentment. Like, he looked at himself as the funnier comedian, as the better actor. Like, he was from Summer Stock. He was the youngest ever hired for Summer Stock. He's an actor, not a comedian. And he's like, I have the chops. Why is everyone go? Why is he the breakout star? This is ridiculous. And as soon as Chevy Chase left, Belushi became the Belushi we all know, with the samurai and the cheeseburger. He became sort of the de facto star of the show.
Chevy Chase struck me. I never really got his full sort of comedic chops. Like, I got the I'm Chevy Chase. Like, I got this, like, a personality more than a comedic actor, more than a character player. I mean, maybe you would rather, in a weird way, have that. If you had a wish for your child, sure, maybe you'd rather them just be that person. You know what I mean? Yeah. That thing where, yeah, I don't do accents and I don't really do impressions and I don't write that much and I'm not a great actor. I'm just me.
People like my vibe.
Yep.
Well, in a way, there's tons of people who can do great accents and characters. And, you know, like when I did sketch comedy for all those years, there were guys and women who could just, they would do three different types of English accents and Cockney, you know, and they would just do everything. Yeah. And they were so versatile and they could do impressions and they could do everything. They're fucking working at a Jamba Juice right now. Like, they weren't, there's a lot of those people. There's not a lot of like Joel McHale's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's just, hey, look at me, I'm me. And maybe a lot of it is an aesthetic, but a lot of it is this sort of comfort in your own skin. Like, it just seemed like that guy seems really comfortable.
Chevy Chase was always Chevy Chase, no matter what he was doing.
Yeah, Barack Obama's that way. It's like, look at that guy. He's so comfortable.
His impressions suck.
Yeah, but he's comfortable as shit doing Barack Obama, and that's what Chevy Chase was. But
you know,
Yes.
You know what the documentary did not explicitly go into, but I got this impression. I'll be interested to talk to the director about it. To that point, Chevy Chase represented a very old school style of comedy. You know, he was good at sketch and he was good at whatever, but with being more of a, he was more like Dean Martin wasn't hilarious and a chameleon. He was Dean Martin. You know what I mean? Like right. These guys were themselves. And Belushi really represented a real, like watershed moment for comedy. Like he did things that were unpredictable, like things that we've come to, you know, be used to now with Chris Farley and on and on and on. He was doing it in 1974 and blowing people's minds.
Yeah, there was like the difference between Shecky Green and then Mort Saul or I'm trying to think of whoever the
like a Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce, right? It just and I guess the difference between Marlon Brando and like the earlier actors, like right. All of a sudden there was this change. It was, you know, acting wasn't acting anymore. It was like this right. Natural thing with pauses and long moments and the actors, you know, method and all that kind of stuff. And I guess comedy, we all know that took place with stand-up comedy versus, mm-hmm. you know, Take My Wife, Please versus this conceptual stuff. But I never really thought about it in terms of sketch comedy. But, yeah, that's true. And it's funny, Chevy Chase always kind of played Chevy Chase, and Belushi never played Belushi.
Yep, you're right. They have interview footage of him with Gene Shalit and whoever, and Gene Siskel, all the Genes.
Right.
And he speaks in a way you're like, oh, that's, I guess, how John Belushi spoke.
Yeah, it's funny. The thing that was so interesting about watching Belushi in those early days is the rare time where he'd play the suburban dad, where he'd put the glasses on and mm-hmm, he wore the mm-hmm. cardigan. That to me was more jarring a character than playing ninja or samurai warrior
right.
or
yeah.
samurai deli owner or something. It always felt weird to see John Belushi acting normal.
And footnote, credit to Chevy Chase. He did participate in the documentary, had a lot of nice things to say about him. And you can see at this point how someone would, you know, big time or whatever because they didn't get along or there was friction or whatever. And to his credit, he participated.
Bill Murray didn't. And
He was in archival footage, but no, he was not an interviewee.
Yes. And that was one of the things August wanted me to ask RJ, which is why didn't Bill Murray participate?
America's most affable comedic actor.
Well, with Bill Murray, it's always a wild card. Like, we couldn't get hold of him because you can't really get hold of him.
True.
Because he was wandering into a bar mitzvah at a Hilton and surprising the bar mitzvah boy or just doing something random.
But did he not participate? You know what I mean?
I don't know, but I do know this. I'll tell you, structurally, it's a bit of a weird documentary because there's no other person on camera being interviewed. They're all interviews over the phone for a book that never materialized. So I don't know if they couldn't get them. I don't know what it is, how it manifested itself, but everyone is like audio recordings over like archival footage or animation or something.
Jesse, 42 from Stockton. Jesse?
Hey, Adam. How are we doing?
Well, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for asking.
Good.
So I've response to your yesterday's episode, I work out at the docks here in Stockton, the Port of Stockton.
And, oh, is that where they shoot all the Journey videos?
They possibly, yes. Quite possibly.
Hey, 5 1/2 coming down the docks. Woo! Would you like
where are you gonna be tonight, girl?
Would you like me to watch me play some air electric piano? I bet you would.
Yeah, check out this stringy hair.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, so...
I love the conceit of that doc. That doc is like, hey, 5 1/2 coming down the dock in pumps. You ever see a dude with no guns who cut the sleeves off his T-shirt and is going to play the air piano? Well, watch out. Today's your lucky
drummer
day.
Too.
Yeah. By the way, when a 5 1/2 with teased hair and pumps is walking down, strutting down the docks, she's a prostitute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your shift is over. You got to drive the forklift, sweetie.
No, she's a gun for hire.
I just love that video. All right. Where the hell were we? Sorry, Jesse, you got me going.
No, no worries. No worries. So, we are starting to conform with the, unfortunately, with the California's EPA regulations, which means that we're no longer going to do things like ship coal in or out. So that's going to change. And then we're also moving to electric vehicles. So my first shift that I had in a while due to COVID was the other night, and we were unloading large Tesla coils that weigh about 3 tons apiece. And the new Caterpillars that they are lift trucks they give us out there are made from a company called Wiggins, and they are all electric.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a picture and I said, I tweeted it to you and to Loxamana, but they have these fancy light markers on the sides now to show you where your space is going to be so you don't hit anything. But the oddest thing was the sound that they make. Now, they don't, when they move and they especially go in reverse, there is no more of a beep. It's more of a, think about a beep if it was coming through an old stereo with a broken woofer.
Is it
that's
muffled?
How it sounds.
Is it better?
Is it better or worse?
Very muffled. It's a muffled, but it's so odd, and it hits a frequency that it makes you turn your head.
But is this thing, but it doesn't bug everyone else who lives by the docks? I don't know how many people live by the docks. So,
no, if you're within, pardon my neighbor's dog, if you're within 50 feet, you're going to hear it. If you're past 50 feet, it's going to be a muffled noise that you won't even really pay attention to.
So this company that makes these forklifts, they must be European.
I'm not sure. I believe they might be actually a U.S. company because
what?
We use both Caterpillar and Wiggins.
Oh,
and I believe Wiggins is a U.S. company.
Well, look up Wiggins. Well, good. I'm glad if we start appropriating this technology, that'll be a good thing. On the other hand, I don't live by the docks, so it's probably not going to impact me. But who knows? Maybe my
right
world
direction.
Will fall apart and I'll have to move out to the docks.
I want to let you know, too, that we actually make some really good money. My brother-in-law is out there. My sister-in-law is out there. And my father-in-law retired from out there. And they're all doing about 150.
Longshoreman is a surprisingly good gig. Mm-hmm. I would be, I think if you took longshoreman and you like put it up against other jobs, you'd be surprised. Like school teacher, fireman, cop, they make all more than that. But they probably make, dental hygienist and shit like that, nurse. I think they do better than a lot of professions.
My wife's a nurse and she's been working. Nurse for 15 years, has a bachelor's, and she's in management now, and she doesn't make as much as her brother. And he's out there as a walking boss.
But he's a dude. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's important.
83 cents on the dollar.
Haven't you been watching Leave It to Beaver? Hey,
there are women walking bosses out there now. I worked with her that night that I was speaking of. Her name was Tammy, if you're listening ever. She likes the show as well. And she's been a walking boss for about 10 years now, and she's making just as much as my brother-in-law. So.
You said you're unloading Tesla coils, did you say?
Yes, the flat metal steel that gets rolled out in the other countries like China and Japan, that gets rolled into giant coils that if you go to the picture, you'll see that they're about 4 feet tall when they're rolled up, and then they cover them in aluminum, and they weigh up from anywhere from 2 tons to 6 tons total.
What are they used for?
Well, they use them to ship to the plants in Fremont and Hayward, and they use those to stamp the doors and the other parts of the body out to weld together.
Oh, the Tesla coil. See, when I heard Tesla coil, I was picturing putting my hands on it, my hair standing up.
Yeah,
you know?
The electricity project? No. That's where they all go.
This is raw steel that gets stamped out and made into the Tesla body parts.
Correct, yes. And it's basically the finest steel that they can find throughout the world that gets shipped to them.
Thanks, Jesse. Well, what would they say? We've done what Juan Valdez did with coffee beans. We searched the world to find the finest steel and put it in the doors of your Tesla. Yes, Gina.
Hey, real quick, since we're talking about cars, I just have to give you a little odd side note, footnote to my car saga. Two things.
With a chunk of cinder block, perhaps.
Yeah, someone threw off an overpass.
Big dent on top of the driver's side fender near the windshield.
Two big dents.
Two big dents.
And so now all I took it in today, and now, so now I have a rental. And all of the now when I turn the car on, all the lights go on. Check engine, dismantle this, disable this. Uphill is engage. All the lights are going on, and they said stop driving it right now and bring it in. And last night, driving home from KFI, I've done this 1,000 times. I'm on the 170, you know, just going home into the valley, pitch black. It took me a few seconds to realize what I was looking at, but coming up on me at 70 miles an hour, or I was coming up on it, was a flat black SUV parked in the right-hand lane with no lights on. Flat black. Almost slammed head first into that thing, swerved like a motherfucker. The next guy had to swerve away from me, and we all kind of went around it. And I don't know what's going on in the world right now, or if it's just me, but it just seems like there's just so much odd shit happening on the roads. I'm afraid to leave the house.
This is a Final Destination situation. You cheated death at some point.
And now you owe the Reaper.
That's right.
That's right.
The flat black thing, which everyone's wrapping their SUVs, the Range Rovers. The flat black thing has always vexed me, which is it doesn't look good because when I grew up, you'd say he got a shiny new car. You'd put the word shiny before the word
shiny
car.
Shiny Cadillac.
Shiny new Cadillac. So the idea is the car would glisten. So flat, sort of the opposite of that. It you just murder it out. Like you try to be a badass, but it makes you look like a jackass. But the thing that's always vexed me is the flat black helmet. The guys who ride the motorcycles. What could be less visible? There's nothing higher up on your bike than your helmet. In terms of being rear-ended and visibility, that helmet is huge in terms of visibility. Flat black, you disappear into the night air. And then also, this is SoCal. It gets hotter than shit outside. My dog is black, Philly cheesesteak. The other day, he just went out and laid out in the backyard. He'll just go out and lay out in the sun. And when you touch him, his coat is hot because he's black and he's just out in the sun.
Absorbing.
He's just fucking wearing that flat black helmet around, just cooking. It's like a crock pot for your brain. You're just stewing your brain in the heat. You see these guys in traffic in L.A. in July, and they're just wearing the flat black helmet. It's not hotter than shit. You don't want a white helmet, you fucking idiots. It's all attitude. That's all things. I'd rather be uncomfortable and invisible and keep my retard attitude. Yes, Brian.
Fun fact related to the previous caller, the Wiggins Company, which you thought might have been fancy European, right here in Southern California.
Wow.
Oxnard.
Good on them. Braden, 50, Glendale.
Hey, Adam, Gene, Bob. How you guys doing?
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. Gene, I am so glad you're okay. Days after AJ said, we're not seeing stalled cars on the side of the freeway anymore.
Right.
It's true.
This shit was parked. I mean, it was terrifying.
We're getting to new world order. This is becoming more and more Mad Max road war every day with the shit falling out of the freeways. The shit fault being the tents on the side of the freeways, everything. So we're getting there. All right. Hey, speaking of Los Angeles, well, I know that was in Arizona.
Yeah.
On the way too.
But okay. You know, we're all in the same neck of the woods.
Got it. So Adam, your talk recently, I noticed your shift of talk about leadership here in Los Angeles, kind of going from Garcetti to our LA Board of Supervisors. Now, Mayor Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, really is a passive calling. He most likely is just the representative of Los Angeles. But the people who are now calling the shots, who have been calling the shots, are the LA Board of Supervisors, which Dr. Drew has mentioned to you in the past. And we have, and maybe one of you guys can bring it up, we have 4 of the 5 are women. And Mark Thomas will be replaced in a few days by a 5th woman. Adam, we are going into a new direction.
That's progress.
Here with women.
We want progress. I want more women of color deciding to shut the restaurants down. Well, look, it's a pretty simple equation. If you were setting policy in this city, there would be different opinions between my wife and me, or there would be different opinions between Dawson and Gina. Anyone who's ever raised kids, there's a difference of opinion. It's usually the women err on the side of safety. It's a wiring thing. The guys are a little more go out there and skin your knee. I would say to my kids when they were 8, go walk and get froyo on a Saturday. My wife would say, you can't let them walk alone to get froyo on a Saturday. Now, is one right? Is one wrong? I don't know. I'm right, of course. Of course, I'm just facetious. But if then you got 5 and they were going to set policy, then they would probably err on the side of safety. The same way if you had 5 Navy SEALs and 5 guys who wore those wooden bead bracelets that guys now inexplicably wear, maybe those fucking pussies. Well, then there'd be a difference. Yes, there would be a difference. And maybe there needs to be a balance. But just like there needs to be a balance between the people who are setting policy and the people who own businesses. Look, there's obviously going to be slightly different agendas there. So if you just said to everybody, should we raise the pack of cigarettes $5 and give the money to the March of Dimes and nobody smokes cigarettes, then you go, yeah. Yeah. Seems like a good idea. Catherine Barger and Janice Hahn both voted to keep restaurants open. Ooh, well, that's good.
It was a 3-2 vote.
Yeah, what did you think about getting one of them on the show, Janice or Catherine?
I would be fine with me. I've found that most everybody I've wanted to talk to about any policy never wants to come on the show. But
it's the shine the light theory I put out yesterday. It's like you can skate under the radar for a long time as a fringe politician, but God forbid someone start to ask you tough questions because your subject came up.
Who is the fella that's leaving, Braden?
Mark Ridley Thomas.
I think that was the coward pussy who was explaining.
He was explaining
that a lot of the outdoor dining establishments were turning into indoor because of the partitions. I think that was the fucktard who said that. But I don't know. Max Spada with Mark Ridley Thomas, maybe.
He said it was a guy, and that's the only guy.
That's the only guy.
He's leaving. Question. He's leaving and getting replaced by someone, Ramen.
I get it.
Just in a few days.
All right.
Yeah, so we have 5 women, Adam. 5 women. How's that?
Well, it's fine as long
Brandon's fired up.
As long as 2.5 of them think like dudes, then we'll be fine. But if all 5 of them think like yentas, then we got a fucking problem. Yes. Thank you.
So this to me is a little existential is not the right word, but for lack of a better word, sort of an existential question. I'm going to get fucking hammered for this by the Twitterverse, but who cares? So it's interesting because it does seem odd. 5 women is something to talk about. That's odd. But it comes back to, like, we pulled the camera back a little farther. How much throughout the millennia has the white man been sort of the standard? And then you get your offshoot, you get your token, you get your one black guy in the Valtrex commercial, you have your couple of women on the Supreme Court, and everything stems from the white man being the party standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so is this, even though it can go all the ways you just described and make sense, is this progress in the sense that we are not seeing people as, okay, we start with the white man and then we fill in the blanks to shut everybody else up? Because if it was an all black male council, that would be something to talk about as well.
Yeah. We're going to have to get to the point where we want the best qualified people in the positions of power.
Indeed.
Sad that we're going to have to get there someday.
Yeah, that one day. And it's insane that the president of the United States picked a vice president who could very well be president because she's a woman and black. What if you did airline pilots that way? Like, don't we just want the best person in that position? And when you announce, I want to get a woman, and I want to get a woman of color, and I want to make her vice president, we aren't you kind of saying out loud, this shall not be the most qualified person for this job?
Well, and I don't know if you saw the other headline, Biden's all-female White House communications team proves the old boys club has to go. That's NBC.
That's so awesome.
Is that the other side? Is that, I guess I'm being naive, is that the pandering?
It's all pandering, but here's what I've found out. Once you take women or black men or minorities or people of color, whatever it is, once they enter that world and live in that world, they just become the same as fucking Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
They're all, you think Susan Rice is different or whomever? Like, find any black woman who was in the Obama administration or Trump administration, whatever. They just
or
become
Condoleezza Rice.
They've just become that. They just become the man. They all just kind of become the same thing.
It attracts a certain personality type, regardless of gender. I would imagine.
Right. So in a way, it's like it's kind of ridiculous that we go, we want a woman because she's going to represent feminine qualities or something. They never really explain why we want a woman. And then those women get into power, and it's like, Janet Reno. She's got ovaries. Okay. Let me hit Simply Safe. RJ Cutler's waiting for us. Simply Safe. Break-ins are on the rise during the holidays, so Simply Safe is having a huge holiday sale. 40% off any system and a free security camera as well. Whether you're traveling or staying put for the holidays, check out 40% off plus free security camera deal before it ends this week. We love Simply Safe. I use Simply Safe. We've always used Simply Safe. They've been a sponsor for over a decade here. U.S. News and World Report calls it the best home security of 2020. CNET Editor's Choice Award, by the way, an arsenal of sensors and cameras. Set it up yourself in about 30 minutes. Then Simply Safe security specialists monitor your home around the clock, sending emergency help if there is an alarm. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Get 40% off Simply Safe plus a free security camera today by visiting simplysafe.com/Adam. Go today. This deal is this week only. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right. RJ Cutler, who made Belushi the documentary, and by the way, many other acclaimed documentaries, is on hold. We'll take a quick break. We'll interview him right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.